Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5 year long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 6 of week number 32, studying Mark chapter 4. As we begin today's study, these reminders. For all of our free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org to get started, or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call us toll-free at this number, 1-855-IGH-6988, to receive a free 30-lesson series. Or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. This week, we are featuring the 6-lesson audio series, The Big Questions. Download that audio series today, absolutely free, at internationalgospelhour.com/free. Let's continue our study of Mark chapter 4. We do not have the time to totally and fully develop a verse-by-verse, thought-by-thought study of all 41 verses of Mark 4. We will, however, pay special attention to one aspect of Jesus' style of teaching, a style mentioned in the opening verses of the chapter. Of particular interest, these words, "Then he taught them many things by parables." That's Mark chapter 4, verse 2. As we read through the gospel records, we cannot help but note that Jesus was involved in near constant teaching mode. Mark chapter 4, verse 1 tells us that Jesus again began to teach by the sea. Early in his ministry, Jesus' teaching continued to draw large crowds. Mark 4, 2 also informs us that a great multitude listened to Jesus. But most important for our current study was Jesus' use of parables. What we cited earlier, that Jesus taught them many things by parables, was the first of 8 references to parables in Mark 4. We referenced all of them in our last broadcast. 2 of those references to parables in the chapter gave rise to the questions that we asked earlier. First, Jesus referred to those on the outside as those who failed to grasp the meaning of parables, Mark 4, verse 11. And second, Jesus, to his own disciples, asked 2 questions about their understanding of parables. In Mark 4, 13, Jesus asked the disciples, "Do you not understand this parable?" Jesus asked that question as if to say that he knew that the apostles did not know the meaning of the parable under consideration. If the disciples of Jesus did not grasp the meaning of this first parable, then how would they be able to understand other parables? That was the second question that Jesus asked. How then will you understand all the parables? If Jesus taught with many such parables, Mark 4:33, and if it's true that without a parable he did not speak to them, Mark 4:34, then it was absolutely necessary to understand what parables were and how parables work. That prompted these questions. Why parables? If Jesus knew that some of his audience would miss their meaning, then why use them? What can teaching by parables do that teaching without parables cannot do? What advantage, if any, do parables have? What are the components, the parts of a parable, that make it work the way that it does? What impact did parables have on Jesus' audiences, on those who got the meaning of the parable, and on those who did not get that meaning? To answer these questions, consider what follows. Presented in no particular order and without an exhaustive explanation of each element along the way. First, parables were intended to convey truth, not hide truth. Second, parables, in order to do that, were made up of several key components, and they made use of several interpretive tools. all of which were designed to resonate, that is, to click with the hearer. Third, parables, even though they were intended to teach truth, and even though they used common everyday illustrations accessible to all, were still, unfortunately, either misunderstood or dismissed by many of Jesus' listeners. Fourth, parables served as an indicator of one's spiritual interest. Those with greater degrees of interest in spiritual things saw something in parables beyond the simple, beyond the ordinary surface meaning presented. Because of that greater degree of interest, they paid closer attention to Jesus' words, especially to Jesus' explanation of parables. The greatest level of interest was often seen in the most obvious of ways. They asked Jesus what a particular parable meant. Fifth, consider some of the key components and tools that we mentioned but a moment ago. Parables were rooted in everyday common occurrences. The illustrations used drew from experience that related to every hearer. Thus, illustrations came from business, from family, from basic social order principles, from agricultural practices, from animal husbandry, and so forth, all things that the average hearer was quite familiar with. Parables started with easy connect-the-dot associations. For example, the seed was the Word of God. The comparisons merged physical, real-world truths, principles, and practices with moral and spiritual principles designed to change listeners' direction and behavior. They were never complicated. They often contained a hook, a surprise element that moved the listener away from where he was and closer to where he needed to be. There were, in this light, many aha moments to be experienced as Jesus conveyed the punchline, the conclusion to the parables. Parables often touched a raw nerve, rather bluntly and without any innuendo at all. Simply picturing a behavior or a belief that was counter to God's will and counter to God's word in the most vivid of ways. Parables, as we repeatedly note, were intended to be understood. And quite often in context, Jesus explained, often in detail, the meaning and the application of the parable under consideration. That reflects an interesting principle that undergirds the entirety of God's Word. The message presented was always a message explained. It might not be explained in the immediate context in which the principles and truths and practices were initially set forth, but given time, especially in the larger, the more immediate context, as well as through comparative studies of other related biblical selections, the intent of the initial message will always come to the fore. Parables often, but not always, had two levels of meaning, one physical and one spiritual. Sometimes, however, a parable had just one point expressed in a single short sentence. Matthew 24:32, for example, states this simple truth. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. That's pretty straightforward. No super moral or super behavioral principle. Just this. When you see the leaves on the fig tree, summer's near. Parables often illustrate and encourage specific moral principles that affect specific behavior. Parables always reflect some key truth or truths about God's character, about God's nature, that must take root within the hearts and the minds of souls made in His image. Parables then often have a single point of connection that deals with character, that deals with character against the backdrop of the kingdom of heaven, and that deals with character against the backdrop of eternity. Sixth, parables can appear in many forms. They can appear as straight parables, as proverbs, as paradoxes, as short parables, or extended parables or narratives. Parables can appear in sequence or in clusters, each building off the preceding parable. Matthew chapter 13 series of Kingdom of Heaven parables reflects parables in sequence. There can be recurring parables or recurring elements within parables. Parables can be analogies. They can be miniature reflections of life, mini dramas of sorts. They can reflect patterns and examples of life, either good or bad. They can be overstated, hyperbolic illustrations. They can be common metaphors with or without a key twist. They can be arguments in defense of a position or a proposition. Some closing thoughts about parables. Parables were used to teach the masses, the multitudes, and parables were also used to teach the well-educated intellectual religious leaders. Parables always started exactly where people were, souls living in a really existing world created by a personal and holy God who created them in His image, a God who always wants what's best for all souls. That personal, holy God, as we have noted earlier, happens to be a God whose very nature is self-revelation. The meaning, God always reveals Himself. God tells us who He has been. God tells us who He is now. And God tells us who He will always be. God's revelation through both the natural, created world and through His inspired Word has always been intended to be understood. After all, why would a God who wants us to know Him, to love Him, to follow Him, and to serve Him, why would that God reveal anything that's less than understandable? To be sure, God's revelation often takes some effort to understand. That's by design. We must tune in to what God reveals. Perhaps you've experienced what it was like to tune in to a radio or a television station using the older analog method. Sometimes you got close to the station you wanted, but there was too much static, too much interference to pick it up clearly. That's not necessarily a radio or a television station's fault. Whatever the reason, radio and television stations do not intentionally try to keep you from listening to and or watching their broadcasts. They want to be heard. They want to be seen. And so does God. God, of course, does not communicate the same way that radio and television stations do. God always intends to convey truths that He wants us to know. To grasp those truths, however, we must be tuned in to God's wavelength. This reminder as we close, to start our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.